You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYN ads.com.
Hello, and welcome to another episode in week 40 of the year. This year is flying by, of the Joe Rogan Experience Review podcast. For new listeners, this basically is kind of a summary of the week of Joe Rogan's Experience podcast. I go through different episodes, talk about things that I liked about it. Often I have a guest on. Today I have a guest introducing a good friend of mine, longtime buddy, Trevor. Say hey.
What's going on?
And yeah, I go through what I like, what was fun about it, what was enjoyable, and I like to go over things like what inspires people based on the podcast. I like to get a lot of feedback from that. So this week is a great week for podcasts, especially for Joe. Starting off with 1158. Bert Kreischer. So Bert is a legend. Friends of Joe Rogan and listeners of Joe Rogan know that Bert is a comedian. He's been on the podcast so many times I can't even count. Every time he's hilarious. And what's great about this one is he's finally released his new stand-up special on Netflix. Which is out now, so listen to that. It's absolutely hilarious. And I haven't actually watched all of it yet, but man, anything that crazy shirtless fatty does is absolutely fantastic. Now, you've been a fan of Bert for some time, right?
Yeah, he's a pretty funny guy, man. Yeah, I think they talked about it on a podcast previously where he does his machine bit.
Oh, the machine bit is legendary.
Yeah.
Now, we just watched that bit earlier today. If you haven't seen the machine bit, what's great about it is basically it's a breakdown of, and you got to watch it, but it's a story of when he was in college taking Russian, and he went over to Russia with his classmates. They ended up giving him the nickname The Machine. He was just getting hammered with these Russians on a train, ended up robbing the place. The story is insane. It's almost like unbelievable with how fantastic it is, but the way he tells it is one of the funniest things I've ever seen in stand-up. I think it has like 10 million hits on YouTube. Yeah, absolutely. You've got to check it out. It's so fantastic. Now, Bert and Joe were talking about their how they do their specials, right? Mm-hmm. Filming comedy specials is something I'm interested in. And I always like to hear how comedians set that up.
Yeah.
So one thing that comedians have been doing, and they talked about quite a bit, is when they get a venue, they will do it over multiple nights, right? So Joe's last special, which he filmed a few months ago, that hasn't been released yet, he did that over four nights. Mm. And what that does is with the filming, it takes a lot of pressure off, like the mistakes, making sure you get the jokes and you can hit the punchlines and you get the responses you need. And it was interesting to hear that Bert only did two of those. Hmm. But how he put it on the podcast is he was talking basically that he prefers the pressure, right? Yeah. So the first night, he bombed big time. He messed up a bunch of lines. And so now on the second night, he had to like pump himself up. It was like game day. He's like, listen, motherfucker, we're going to do this. We're going to get this right. And he went out there and he crushed it. Crushed it.
So all of it was just from one take?
Mostly, yeah. I don't think he used anything from the first take, from what I could tell. Uh-huh. And interesting way of doing it. I don't know. I would film it a few more times, personally. Yeah. I'd like to give myself a bit more of a buffer. But he's a pro. He's done it a long time. They talked about Chappelle's special as well. I think the second one that he's done, because he released one, I think, last year. It was like a double. Yeah, yeah. And then he just did a new one now. And that one he did six times.
Really?
Yeah, he did six different nights of filming. Just because, like, why not?
Not that he necessarily needs it, but
I don't know. He doesn't. Yeah. When you watch him live, he's amazing. Yeah. But if he's going to practice it anyway, he could definitely afford to. And you can guarantee you take the only, the very best clips that time around. Yeah, sure. And they are really good specials.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed those. Some of the interesting parts of their conversation was the early days of comedy between them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just hearing what these comedians go through is so brutal. And, you know, we touched on this earlier. They were talking about how the Florida crowds are the worst.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's where he's from originally, Bert, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, he went to college there for sure. Oh, okay. So I don't know if he grew up there, but there, he went to Florida State. Mm. And so he knows those crowds.
Mm. Did they say why they're, why they're so rough? Like a bunch of hecklers or something?
Yeah, it was. It's not just that, but then, you know, they're not paying attention, and you got a lot of kind of diversity mm-hmm. over there. So, mm-hmm. so you know, that some crowds are into it, some aren't. Yeah. Like, for example, Joey Diaz is mm-hmm. Cuban, mm-hmm. so he's crushing over there. Yeah. And yeah. and Joe talks about how you've never seen anyone crush like Joey could do in Florida.
Yeah.
But I think it's one of those. I think they're like really tough crowds to win over mm-hmm. because you have to be like from them. You know what I mean? You have to really have that understanding. They're just happy to hate you. And that puts you in a bad spot. And I just can't imagine.
I wonder if you could use that to your advantage, knowing that in Florida.
Yeah, I would imagine. I mean, as long as you don't quit, it's definitely going to give you a thick skin.
Yeah,
it's going to toughen you up for sure. But that would make me cower away as well.
Yeah.
Dane Cook has a story, early days as well, where he did one in Florida, and they didn't even give him, it was like at a almost a, like a fairground
mm-hmm.
and they didn't give him a place to perform, so he had to like stand up on top of this like almost like a hot dog stand
mm-hmm.
and he'd just yell his comedy at people
mm-hmm.
and he ended up getting hot dogs thrown at him.
Really?
And this was like his early days, and he says that was actually the closest he ever got to quitting.
That reminds me of I think Willie Nelson tells a story about how whenever he first started out, he wasn't very popular in like country bars and everything. And so he would go and play these dive bars in the South somewhere and go to the roughest joints he could find. And he walked into this one place one time and they had chicken wire up in front of the stage.
Oh, amazing.
And the whole time people were just throwing like bottles at it and cussing at him and telling him he sucks and stuff.
Didn't they do something like that in the movie Blues Brothers? Isn't there like a scene at the beginning where somebody's like playing behind one? I never thought that that was actually a real thing.
Yeah.
It looked way too insane.
Yeah.
Imagine a place that crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. Can't imagine trying to keep with it.
God, it'd be fun though.
Yeah.
It would be fun for sure. Another thing that Bert's up to now is staying fit. He's not drinking as much, which is a huge thing. Because remember, they did Sober October all together. Yeah, so it's coming up again. They're thinking about a new one. I think they are. They're not going to do the yoga.
Oh, okay.
I think that Ari is not into the yoga. Yeah. He's not doing that.
Because they were doing like no alcohol, no drugs. And
I think and 15 hot yoga. Yeah. 15. Joe did 9 in a row at the end.
Really?
Well, because he had no time, so he like squashed it all together.
Yeah.
And that is way too much. But see, Bert's been training.
Mm-hmm.
He did like a marathon not that long ago, mm-hmm. and now he's doing, I think he's doing like the Spartan things. Those ones are almost like an Ironman, I think.
Oh, okay.
It's like an assault course, but a lot of running and other stuff.
Throw a spear.
You're right.
Throwing
kick
spears.
Someone down a well.
Yeah.
So, fight a bunch of Persians. So, he's staying in as much shape as he can, right?
That's cool.
And he really doesn't have a room for drinking,
mm-hmm.
like on top of that,
mm-hmm.
which is probably the best way to motivate yourself not to drink. If you're a drinker, give yourself something to do early in the morning rather than say, I'm not going to drink.
Right.
Because then you just think about it, probably drink more.
Yeah.
And so he has it right, and it's impressive. I don't know if he's losing a ton of weight. He still looks fat to me, but good job.
I hadn't seen his new special. He looks about the same, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
I wonder if it's just a way to, like, save face.
Well, if he gets a six-pack,
well, you know,
he's
like,
not going to be taking his shirt off anymore.
As you get older, it's harder to, like, your hangovers are harder on you, so maybe they're just coming up a way to like save face. Oh, we're being healthy.
That's
but it's
it.
Really
yeah.
alcohol just kicking their
they
ass.
Just, they can't take.
They can't hang anymore.
Well, they're like in their 50s. Yeah, Joe's just turned 51 in August.
Yeah.
So we actually did his like kind of like a birthday tribute podcast.
Yeah, I haven't listened to that one yet.
And so getting that's not young.
No.
It's gonna hurt.
Yeah.
Stuff hurts.
Yeah.
Gotta push through it.
Yeah.
Moving on, he gets into like the early days of just kind of his life and dating and dating crazy women.
Bert?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And we've all been there, right? I mean,
yeah.
For you,
yeah.
Boy back in high school probably is the last time, but I mean it exists.
They do exist.
And you pick them up in the sense of like, I don't know, you want to fix them.
Isn't that kind of part of the excitement though? If there's a little bit of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. Until you learn what it is and then you're like, this is not exciting.
I cannot handle this.
My God. She killed my rabbit.
With my pillow.
Yeah, right. Oh, but just like hearing those stories and like when he's talking about fixing them, you know, I wanted to fix them. I wanted to help him and fix them. And they did this and that. And he had this
That's
one.
Never good.
Nah. Well, you're not going to. You can't fix people.
Try and fix people.
People are who they are. He said he had a girl over one time. I guess they just slept together, but he came real quick.
Mm-hmm.
And then she was like, that was it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I came all the way over here for this and like was just really giving him a hard time. He was like, you need to get out. And she just went off on it.
Really?
And he knew it was done.
Mm-hmm.
So he just like laid that out. I can't remember what. Man, I totally blanked on what he said to her, but it was really insulting. Like,
really?
Like fuck off, bitch, or just something nasty.
Yeah.
But what was hilarious about it is there was this moment of pause, and instead of going nuts, she just cracked up laughing. So they had like this moment, but
that's cool.
It's a wake-up call.
Yeah.
You got to kick those people out. You can't have them in your life.
Mm.
Well, you're not going to fix them.
No.
You're not going to be able to do anything with
Well, why get into a relationship and like with that expectation that... expecting somebody to change.
It's hopeful, right?
Yeah.
And you don't know that you can't.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of feel like...
It's not really fair. Though,
I think you don't notice, too, right
yeah,
away.
Probably not,
that's
yeah.
probably
it. Takes
it.
A while.
Yeah. And then you're like, oh, now it's here.
Yeah.
And then you're just like, well, maybe if I can X, Y, and Z it. And no.
Hmm.
Women with no friends. That's where you got to... Women with no female friends.
Right.
You got to watch out for that one.
Yeah.
That one's a bad sign. If other women don't like him, there is a reason. It means that they are worried that the girl's going to fuck all their guys or something.
Yeah.
Like, it is something like that. And I've dated plenty of those women. I'm glad they're gone. Nobody needs it. moving on to the last bit of the podcast, they got into how they put their sets together, how they write, how they get on with it.
That's cool.
Well, even professional comedians... just like anyone trying it, oftentimes massive procrastinators, and writing is the hardest part.
Sure.
So I'm always interested to hear like how they go about it.
Mm-hmm.
Joe's a very disciplined person, you know, I mean, just from listening to this podcast, you know this.
Yeah.
So he can sit down and just crack on with it.
Right.
But some of the other guys struggle. Some people don't write at all. They do all of their material on stage and then they work new things in. And that's really
impressive.
It's
gotta be hard, yeah.
It's hard, right? Yeah. And Bert was talking about how he's setting up. And he said he almost has 50 minutes of new material since his special was filmed, I think, in January.
Wow.
So it's been all March. I don't know. It's been quite a lot of months, almost 6 months since it was released. But in that time, he's been able to build up a lot. Because there's always that period after you do your special and you're willing to dump... You have to dump your material that you have nothing.
So like right after you do a special, they just kind of, they start fresh.
Kind of. I think oftentimes they mix stuff in.
Yeah.
So they'd be doing a lot of new stuff that doesn't really gain any traction.
Yeah.
And then they
yeah.
do some of their older bits, not the whole thing.
Well, sure.
But just to kind of keep things going.
Yeah.
And they do have close to 6 months between filming and airing. That they can still work on stuff.
That's cool.
But it's, I think what they're saying is it's just a good habit to drop your material once you've made the special because people have heard it, they know the bits, they like shout out the punchlines.
Yeah.
It gets super annoying, I think, for these poor guys. Yeah. And you know, Joe even says, he's like, I'm pretty obsessive about it. If I think of something, he goes, I'll just hop up and leave the room and go write it down.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important because...
Right. You want to catch it in the moment.
Well, you always think you can remember.
Right.
And you won't.
Yeah.
Even if you remember the premise, you won't remember that spark that was like, that was what was funny.
Right.
But it gets awkward because sometimes you're doing things you can't really stop doing to write things down.
Yeah.
Like you couldn't be like
you're jerking off. And
You couldn't be having sex and you just stop in the middle and you're like, sorry, sweetheart. I just thought of something hilarious.
Yeah, that'll get you kicked out of bed.
That'll get you kicked out for sure. You'll be in big trouble. So, check out his special, guys. Watch it. He's great. He needs support. Follow him on Instagram. He's always doing hilarious shit on there, too. Next up, podcast 1160, Valentine Thomas. She's cool. She's French-Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she was a lawyer, now an ex-lawyer. Quit that. Gave up everything. Sold everything she owned to become a professional spear fisher person.
Mm-hmm.
Fisherwoman?
I don't know.
Can you say that?
Yeah, sure.
All right. A spear fish woman, fisher woman.
A spear woman?
With fish.
A spear woman?
A spear fisherman who is a woman. There we go, we got it.
Something.
Don't get mad.
What do professional spear fisher people do?
They spear fish.
Like in competitions? Or do they?
They didn't talk a lot about that. I think it just means that that's what you do full time.
But do they put the fish on the market and like sell it for meat?
I don't know how much you can get.
Well, some fish, you can get crazy amounts of money.
Are you leaving with like a huge bag of fish?
I don't know. Maybe it's like rare fish or something that.
Yeah, well,
I
she didn't
listen to the podcast.
She didn't talk a lot about how she makes money based on the fish. She talks about having fish, right? So she has a huge freezer of great fish. She loves eating them.
Okay.
Maybe she sells some.
She must. I mean, she's got to be making.
She
money
does somewhere. Like free diving. That's lessons,
cool. Uh-huh.
A little bit of that,
training
which is like holding your breath for a long time. She talks about that stuff, staying real calm, and heading down and doing that. And then
that's kind of crazy.
She can hold the breath for like 5 minutes,
whoa,
which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah,
and they go—I think they can go like maybe 100 feet down, which I do some diving, and that's a long way. That's like as far as you can go with a paddy. Certified like open water dive is that much, but you have tanks and you have to like stop on the way back.
You
don't have to do it if you're a free diver because of the way the oxygen pressurizes, like you get it at the surface, go down and come back up. It's not like you were breathing down there, so you don't have the Benz effect, but it's you've still got to be real careful
because you clear like the oxygen out of your lungs at some point, don't you? So that it seems like you would get the Benz, though. They have to normalize somewhere.
No. It doesn't work quite like that because the air is normal pressure up here.
Yeah.
You swim down.
Okay.
It pressurizes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then because you're not breathing, then you come back up, it would expand again, right?
Yeah.
It kind of makes sense that you would, but for some reason I don't think it happens like that.
Okay.
Because they didn't talk about stopping, but what she did talk about is a pretty scary story where you go with a dive partner, obviously, someone that can watch you.
Mm-hmm.
She was swimming down chasing a fish,
okay,
and she was telling Joe that she was like 80 feet down, quite a long way.
Mm-hmm.
The guy's further up looking down, watching her, exclusively watching her.
Okay.
And what happens is something can happen to your body when you're running out of oxygen and you start to kind of kick and spasm a bit weird.
Like uncontrollably?
Yeah, like just odd movements that are involuntary, like you're not doing it.
Yeah.
And she started to have that, get a bit dizzy, and she started to black out. Oh, and this guy was able to spot it, swim down. I mean, the last thing she's remembering is, God, I hope this guy is looking at me.
Yeah.
Because it looks like he is, but if he doesn't notice.
Because at that point, you probably can't get to the surface fast enough to make a difference.
Yeah, you'll be dead very quickly, obviously, if you black out. But he was able to come down and get her. And she said the reason that was is because his brother died free diving. And I don't know if he was watching.
Mm-hmm.
He was the partner, but this happened. It was because someone wasn't paying attention.
Wow.
So, he was super serious about it. And, it helps.
Yeah.
It helps at all. But yeah, just the idea that somebody would go from a lawyer to a spearfisher person is pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And she just sounded so passionate about it, so excited, all of her energy, like absolutely loves this beyond really anything that she's ever done. And she, there was also like this reflective process where she was really able to see who she is and what she wants to do and what's valuable to her and where she wants to live and how she wants to do her life and also what she's eating, like the food, the quality.
Yeah. And that's neat that she went from, you know, spending all your time as a lawyer in an office behind a desk, and then you're able to kind of flip that switch and go like follow your passion and make a living doing it. And you know, we were talking about that earlier, how you have a lot of respect for people who do that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That are able to make a living just following their passion.
Because it's so brave.
Yeah.
And you know it's so scary. Yeah. I think everybody admires it.
Jump, yeah.
And Joe mentioned that a bunch of times. Mm-hmm. He kept saying how admirable and brave it is. Yeah. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I think he really does admire those sorts of things.
That's cool.
And yeah, and for her it paid off, and maybe for other people it doesn't, but you know what, there's something about trying.
Yeah.
And if you do it once, keep doing it, you'll find your path, but more importantly you won't be stuck on one that you hate,
right?
And
which is easy to do.
Yeah. A lot of people don't have a choice.
Yeah.
Like she didn't have kids, you know. You have two kids.
Yeah.
You can't just and a great career that you love, you wouldn't just be able to turn around tomorrow and be like,
hey, I'm gonna go,
let's get a log cabin in northern New Mexico, live off the land.
Yeah.
What would you even grow?
I don't even know.
Fig tree.
Yeah, fig tree.
Just eating figs all the time. Just constantly shitting.
Yeah, they grow really well in New Mexico.
I have no idea.
I don't know.
No idea. But yeah, not easy.
Yeah.
Not easy at all. And and she did it, and it's pretty amazing. She was also talking about something called, I think it's called the aquatic ape theory.
Oh yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, do you know much about it?
Just that we evolved from apes that were swimming in shallow seas or lakes or something, looking for fruit, and I don't know, like the specifics.
But they didn't get super into it.
But that's how we developed maybe our like the upright posture in our hips and.
And
transition to walking on land easier.
Yeah, I mean, it's just said that we've been in and around water for some time, and that's kind of how we've been able to, you know, something happens, you stick your head under the water, and you're able to, your body kind of adjusts. You stop, your heart slows down, you breathe kind of differently. Your body is preparing for being underwater. And there's something like, remember that Nirvana album cover?
The
like babies automatically hold their breath.
Yeah.
And supposedly other apes don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
You put them in the water, they just drown.
Really?
But with humans, like we've been close to water while we evolved. Yeah. And
see, I just always assumed that was like just being like developing in a womb in amniotic fluid, like, you know, you have maybe a natural reflex to hold your breath.
Makes sense, right? Yeah. But supposedly what they're saying is other animals, mammals won't do it.
Yeah, and they are developing in similar circumstances.
Sure,
yeah.
Sure. Okay. So something different is going on.
Yeah.
And
how do they test that? They just throw like get these baby chimps and dunk them in a tank.
100%.
That one died.
Yeah, 100%. They don't treat monkeys.
And you
got
to do like at least 1,000 to get a good statistical set of data.
It's just a genocide for science. They're like, don't worry, they're just monkeys. We're drowning them all. Maybe one of them will hold their breath.
Right.
Fucking poor bastards. Monkeys had a hard time.
Yeah.
Do you think aliens won't come down and just do ridiculous tests on it? We can't get mad at them.
Yeah.
They
we got to probe at least 1,000 of these things.
Yeah, right. They're like, we'll find nothing.
Yeah.
I think they eat too much Taco Bell. But anyway, awesome lady, really cool stuff, and also a great Instagram. Really cool. That's how Joe found her.
Huh.
Great pictures on that. Of course, she's
like,
going
like fishing, spear fishing.
Yeah, she's
stuff.
Going
That's
to
cool.
amazing places, yeah. and it's pretty awesome. Up next on the podcast, 1161, Banachek. Banachek is a guy that if you saw Joe Rogan, blanked on that, the name of the show that he had. Joe Rogan.
Fear Factor?
No. It was, he like, oh, this is so stupid. It's like Joe Rogan investigates every questions everything.
Oh,
Joe
yeah,
Rogan
yeah,
questions
yeah,
everything.
Yeah.
So he had Banachek on because Banachek is a mentalist. He bends spoons. He guesses like numbers that you're thinking, like all these different things, right? So he does all this.
Is that like an illusionist?
Yeah, kind of like that. And Joe had him on just to see if this was real. And,
right.
And he comes out openly and says, "It's I'm just tricking you. There's no magic."
Yeah, yeah.
And what's cool about him is back in the day, when he was like 20, he signed up for a university test that went on for 4 years where they were testing his ability to do things like this. And what's cool about it is it kind of gives you a breakdown of like the bias of science.
Mm-hmm.
Like you think that maybe they'd be the best and only real good researchers because of the scientific method. But when their bias is coming in, he was able to exploit them. And he started to get these guys thinking that he was this, and they were just like waiting for this to happen. Even when he eventually came out and said, no, I'm doing all this. They thought he was trying to cover up the fact that he had this power.
Really?
Well, he used to break into the lab, and he used to bend everything.
Oh, really?
And he used to change the clocks, and he used to set stuff up like he would with magic.
Huh.
And it was just constantly tricking these people.
Mm-hmm.
And they went at it like just looking for testing, not assuming that this person's like main focus would be to trick them,
which is
to lie to them and change everything.
Yeah.
So of course they were very upset when everything kind of came out about it. But you know, incredible. Now Banachek is a guy that went on Johnny Carson and he exposed that televangelist guy with the earpiece. Remember he was like recording. You remember that story back in the day?
Yeah.
And that story was fascinating.
Was that the guy that was like healing people on stage?
Yeah. And he was like, "Come up, you've got cancer in your breast." And his wife is just telling him.
Huh.
And what they did is they tuned into the frequencies,
recorded it,
lined it up with the footage, played it on Carson, and exposed it.
Yeah.
And
that guy was like cleaning people out of like their retirement funds and all kinds of
things. But it was worse. He was saying things like, "You don't need your medication,
throw it
up on stage.
Wow.
And give me $10,000.
Yeah.
Like it's so criminal. It's
taking
unbelievable.
Advantage of people.
And it was all tax free.
Yeah.
Non-taxed.
Yeah.
And he was, I mean, their budget, Banachek was saying that their guy's budget for making these shows was $500,000 a month.
Wow.
Like, and when was Carson on? 70s or 80s?
Yeah, he probably finished in the late 80s or, yeah, probably the late 80s.
Yeah, I mean,
into late 80s.
Sick.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
But thank God that somebody came out and did this. And, and I think that's one of the most awesome things, how he went about finding out like how this guy was doing it and just being able to get it to TV.
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing just to know this information.
Yeah.
What do you do with it?
Right.
Go to a paper, like who's reading that? But to be able to actually show it on television, everyone just went, "What?"
Yeah.
I'm surprised they didn't string that guy up.
Right.
I mean, imagine if you knew your grandma.
I mean, like, he was probably arrested for fraud and jailed, something like that.
Yeah. Well,
maybe.
Would it be?
I don't know.
Or is it just like it's a thing that happens and does he have to really promise the word of God?
Yeah.
It's hard to say if there's a law being broken there, right? That's tricky.
Yeah.
It's tricky. Who knows? But then I think it was during.
They probably could have sued him.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah.
No doubt. Also during some other show that they were doing, he had this producer on, this English guy. I think he worked for the BBC, and they were like putting a show together and doing something, and he worked with this other guy who exposed the evangel preacher. He had him on and they were doing something back and forth, but also proving that what they're doing isn't magic or anything.
Right.
And the producer, supposedly, this is just like a random story that he threw up, but I found it fascinating and it was hilarious. The producer was having like a bit of a mental breakdown because he felt like people were tricking him and they were messing with him and it was all so real and they weren't able to catch anything on film because they were only bending things while the cameras weren't on just to kind of wind this guy up.
Yeah.
Well, he had such a breakdown. He's like yelling at them. Right?
Uh-huh.
These like 20-year-old kids yelling at them, saying, "Well, you know, you did this on purpose and you're doing this to ruin my life and career." And Banachek is talking about how he's having a breakdown.
Yeah.
And then Banachek said he looked down and there was like a wet spot in his pants. And the guy was like, and I just ejaculated and a demon made me ejaculate.
Okay.
It's a demonic ejaculation.
What?
And they're like, "What the fuck?" what a fucking lunatic. This guy had a real job for the BBC, producing things.
Yeah.
Completely out of his mind. Mm. Batshit crazy. And mad at them for not actually having magic powers that he could capture. Like, what a fucking lunatic. And Joe just kept repeating demonic ejaculation over it. He's like, oh, he's probably having a demonic ejaculation. Dude, I was cracking up. That's so fantastic. Towards the end of the episode, he did some magic, took some nails, normal stuff, like bent it in front of Joe, took a fork, twisted it around, and talked about how there's a process to it. But Joe was checking these things out, and he was like, there is no way I could bend the spoon like that or that fork. He's like, I have no idea how you did that. That was pretty amazing.
That's cool.
Have you seen those sorts of things?
No, ever? I never have, yeah.
That kind of magic?
I mean, in The Matrix, right? That's probably my only...
The spoon is not real.
There is no spoon.
That was great. But yeah, doing some cool stuff. And
that'd be cool to see that in person, though.
For sure, for sure. Well, kind of a big part of what Banachek does, and Joe called him out on it, is like how quickly he speaks. He speaks so fast, you're like constantly confused.
Yeah.
And then I think he does some pickpocketing and things, so, you know, they're often touch you in lots of places, like your wrist, your shoulder, they move your elbow, and before you know it, your watch is off.
Right.
But he's also talking to you so fast, you can't really keep up, you know, with where anything is.
Yeah.
But you also found out that's a bit of a problem for him because he's trying to slow down in a podcast that Joe's like, dude, can you just slow down a little bit?
Yeah,
he almost wasn't able to do it.
Really?
And then off on one tangent after another. So sometimes with these guys, it's not just like that skill they pick up.
But yeah.
They're super ADHD.
Right.
And they can't get away from it.
Underlying condition.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. I mean, what's the difference between somebody who does that and like, I mean, it's probably a fine line between somebody who does that and, like, a scam artist.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Well, he probably had to make that choice at one point.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm a liar, and I can steal, and I'm a cheat.
Maybe.
Why not be open about it so I don't feel guilty? You know? I mean, why not? Or you're just, like, stealing everyone's wallet and doing that. Like, those guys in, like, Italy and Barcelona.
Yeah, the gypsies.
Yeah, they're real good at it.
Yeah.
That's terrifying stuff.
Yeah.
You got to get a fanny pack.
Yeah.
Bringing the fanny pack back.
Yeah.
That's Joe Rogan right there.
Yeah.
But anyway, great week of podcasts. Really good ones. If you haven't listened to any of those, get on it. Listen to them. They're great. I want to thank Trevor for being here.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Brother, awesome. Fun, we got to do it again.
Absolutely.
And for everyone that tuned in, I really appreciate it. Thanks for the support. And like I said, I'm going to keep improving this. We're going to keep adding to it and, you know, make it worth a damn. All right. Thanks, guys. Love you.
Bye.